Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So great to have you here. Well, we're starting a new series today and we're really excited about it. This series is going to lead us into our Lifehouse conference, which is going to be an amazing time of momentum for us spiritually, but as a church, and we're going to be moving forward, and that's God's got us, and we're going to see some great things happening. This series, right from the outset, let me tell you what it's called. It's called Atomic Power. Atomic Power. After the bombing of Pearl Harbor in America, how many of us are familiar with that event? It forced America's hand into the Second World War, which they were very reluctant to be a part of. And this led to some very bloody battles in the South Pacific, as we know, as America went on to defend itself. And if you've studied world history at all, you would know that many people lost their lives in that combat between Japan and America in the jungles, hand-to-hand combat. And America were losing a lot of soldiers, and there was a huge amount of pressure for the American government for that to not happen, because they just didn't want war. And so it was turning out to be a long, drawn-out, bloody battle. And so, as we all know, America got a little bit tired of that. And on August 6th, 1945, an American B-29 bomber dropped the world's first deployed atomic bomb. This is all very sad, by the way, but it's just world history. But it dropped the first atomic bomb over two Japanese cities, as we all know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The explosions, listen to this part, this is the part I need you to listen to. The explosions were so devastating and so powerful and so immediate that it forced Japan into an unconditional surrender. They just could not compete with that type of firepower and armor. The war was over with Japan because of that atomic bomb. Now, you know, we've all got opinions about atomic bombs and nuclear weapons. If you don't have an opinion, you probably should have one. But let me tell you something. As bad as they are saying, people will tell you that the reason why we haven't entered into a third world war is because of the bomb, by the way. Because people are so afraid of that thing, people are so afraid of its power that nobody wants to enter into a third world war, because we all know it would be over for everybody. So I know, as bad as they are, at the same time, it's actually causing a little bit of world peace, because nobody wants anyone to send one of those things across to another nation, because we all know that they're all linked and it would be very, very bad for mankind. So why have we called this series Atomic Power? Because in this series, we're going to talk about the things that are going to bring power into our lives, because I believe Jesus has got spiritual atomic power. And we need some of that atomic power, because you know what? We need to get out of the jungle and we need to get out of hand-to-hand combat, because that battle would have gone on for America and Japan for a long, long, long time. But because of the power that was able to be shown, the war came to an end. And this series is about enlightening every single person in this room that Jesus has got spiritual atomic power that he wants to bring into our world with situations that we have been fighting with and in combat. Areas of our lives that we just can't seem to overcome, things that keep plaguing us, and we have been in the jungle for a long time, but it's time for Jesus' spiritual atomic power to come and blow things up and settle the war once and for all. So come on, everyone needs to give the Lord a huge round of applause as we encounter these weapons that are available to us as believers. And for us to understand spiritual atomic power, we need to understand physical atomic power. How does the atomic bomb actually work? Maybe this is new information for some of you, and I'm going to simplify it as much as possible, to be honest. I got onto a website and typed in how atomic bombs work for kids. And even then, it was a little bit complicated. But some of you would know how it works, but for those of you who don't, the atomic bomb gets its power by breaking up or making collide the nucleus inside an atom. Now, there are atoms in this room that we cannot see. But when you have a whole lot of ingredients, plutonium and isotopes and a whole lot of other things that make it work. But basically, when atoms are collided together, the nucleus inside of them causes energy to be released. That's very, very simply how an atom bomb works. What am I saying? An atom bomb works through something you cannot see. That's how it works. It splits something and it makes things collide that you cannot see, although atoms are everywhere. Listen to what I'm saying. Japan had atoms. The whole world's got atoms. But America were the first country to take hold of that technology and use something that you cannot see and turn it into a weapon. Now listen to what I'm saying. We are going to be talking to you about things that you cannot see. I can't show you what I'm about to talk to you about today. I'm only going to tell you about it. And then you need to make two things collide in order for this weapon to come alive. What am I talking about today? What is the atomic power that we need to get hold of today? Let's go right for the top. Faith in the name of Jesus. Come on, someone needs to get a whole lot more excited than that. Come on, East. Faith in the name of Jesus. Oh, I've heard about this. I'm going to go to Facebook now. No. We need to revisit this because when I encounter people and their situations, what becomes obvious to me is not so obvious for so many people. And I want it to be obvious to you. Many of the things we are going through can be sorted out through faith in the name of Jesus. And there's a great story that illustrates this. And so we're gonna read the story and then I'm gonna unpack it for you. Can we do that together? Acts chapter 3. We're going to read the whole story. I'm going to skip a few bits, but I need you to hear this because many people have never read this story and you're only new to faith. And so it's a great story, but there's some very powerful points. And it starts in Acts chapter 3 and it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. That's a good point right there. They were off to pray. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth, but by the way, when it says lame, it doesn't mean like, you know, how the young people say, that's so lame. That's not the lame it's talking. It's not like this guy was just like not very fashionable. That's not what it's saying. He couldn't walk. He was lame, right? Okay. It says he was lame from birth, being carried in. Each day he was put aside beside the temple gate, the one called the beautiful gate. Helen and I have seen that gate. It's so beautiful. It is beautiful. You're going to hear a lot of that now. Get ready, people. So he could beg from the people who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. What did he want? Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you. But I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, watch this, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him and they heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Then they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly onto Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness?" It wasn't our power. It wasn't our godliness. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't our power. It wasn't our godliness that made this miracle happen. You need to get that. Verse 16. Then he says a whole lot of other things. We're going to cut to verse 16. He says, listen, let me tell you how this happened. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. He says it again. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. What an amazing story. Faith in the name of Jesus. This man asked for money. thinking that was going to be the solution to his problem. Not that he thought he could ever walk, but he thought maybe it would just help my life a little. But thank God, God didn't give him what he wanted. God gave him what he needed. And there's a whole lot of people in this room right now. You've got some things going on in your life and you're praying prayers, asking for what you want. And God is saying, that's not what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. What you actually need today is not just a whole lot more of counselling. Yes, nothing wrong with that, but that's not exactly what you need. Some of us thinking you just need a whole lot more money. I need a whole lot of other things. And God says, no, what you actually need is my spiritual atomic power of my name brought into that situation. That's what we need. And thank God that Peter didn't just throw him a few coins and leave him lame. He gave him what he actually needed. And right now in this room, as packed as it is right now, I'm guaranteed that there are people that are fighting some battles right now. And you're fighting battles in your relationship. You're fighting battles in your health. Come on. You're fighting battles for confidence, stress, confusion, financial troubles. All of us have got some of these things going on. Some of us have just simply got the battle that we want to move forward and achieve all our lifelong dreams and goals and just find ourselves in a better place. It's not always negative. You know, some of the things that we are believing God for can be sorted out with just a great friend and a little bit of wisdom. Life group. Just get to life group. I'm telling you, you know, it will sort out 80% of the things that you're going through. Things that you're praying to God about. God, I need a miracle. God says, no, just go to life group. Just go to life group. You're going to find your miracle there in most cases. But then there's that 20% where we need something to happen. We need a miracle. We need a miracle. And I thank God. I couldn't think of anything worse if I had to look after this amount of people and not know a God who does miracles. Because there are so many situations where no man can help. No man could help this guy. And there are some relationship issues going on right now. Listen, I'm telling you right now, no man, no woman, no psychologist can help. We actually need Jesus to come in, change some hearts, change mindsets. God is the God of power. And what a horrible thing it would be for a pastor who loves his people to not be to just watch you go through trial after trial and not have a God who can do miracles in your life. The great news is we do serve a God who can do some miracles. And so some of us, there's that 20% where we need God to do a miracle. It may be 50%. I don't know what it is for you. But what I'm trying to say is we have found ourselves just having to ask God for what's going on in our lives. Acts chapter 4, this same story, the Apostle Peter is being questioned about the healing. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, I love what he says. He says, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, a man you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. He's making it very clear. It wasn't your tithing. It wasn't necessarily just your long prayers. It wasn't some ritual that you were performing. Listen, let me tell you the last thing it was, you being super godly. Because if that's what it takes for God to do miracles, then none of us qualify to get a miracle from God. He's making it very clear because the Pharisees were saying, how did God do a miracle through you? And I thank God that he says, let me make this super clear to you today. It's not about you. It's about the powerful name of Jesus. And if you will put your faith in that name, you can sit back, rest, and believe that God can do it for you. But he makes it very clear that it's not just the name of Jesus. It's not just the name. It's faith in the name. See, your faith, just like the atom bomb, just like those two atoms need to collide, the name of Jesus and your faith need to collide before the spiritual atom bomb takes off. Listen, the name of Jesus has always been powerful. So then why aren't miracles happening in our life? Because the name of Jesus is waiting for your faith to connect to it. Yeah, it's a great time to give Jesus a huge round of applause because that's what he needs. Because if this is true and the name of Jesus is so powerful, then why isn't God just doing miracles everywhere? Because he is waiting upon our faith. It was faith in the name. And I'm telling you right now, church, it's time for us to get out of hand-to-hand combat. It's time for us to get out of the jungle warfare and sit back and let God drop that atom bomb and destroy whatever it is that is going on in our lives and destroy it once and for all. Let me encourage you to have faith in that name. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12. By the way, I'm going to take my time in this message because it's just too powerful to gloss over. This is how we're going to do Christianity. This is how we're going to do life. This is how we're going to do marriage. The apostle was preaching. Actually, this is Philip now preaching, and it's in Acts 8, 12. It says, but now the people believed Philip's message. Have a look at his message. Of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. It's like he was preaching two messages, the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Why does it separate those two things? Because the good news about the kingdom is about you going to heaven one day. You know, one day you're going to close your eyes and Jesus is going to raise you from the dead and you're going to be in eternity forever and ever and ever. And we need to never fear death. Death wants to come to us, but it can't touch us because Jesus has overcome death and he's going to take us out of the grave and we are going to be with him forever. That's the good news about the kingdom of heaven. But then what's this good news about the name of Jesus? That's about doing life on earth. Because see, God doesn't want us to get to heaven all beaten up. Life was just one big roller coaster of emotions and devastation and depression. And we think that's what Christianity is. And you know, there are some preachers, I don't want to be negative, but that's the truth. There are some people who glorify suffering and they glorify that life is just really tough, isn't it? And there's some sort of spirituality for going through a really dark time. And listen, there are dark times that come. But apparently we've been called to victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And God has got some good things. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and there's going to be life abundant. Yes, there's going to be tough times, but we go through those tough times knowing that God is waiting for us on the other side. And we're not going to camp here. Two messages. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, come on, read this out with me. And whatever you do, say it again. And whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, how do we do it? We do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's go back to that first statement, and whatever you do. Does that mean going to work? How many of us are going to work in the name of Jesus? No, some of us are waking up in the morning, I gotta go to work today. Sunday was awesome. The name of Jesus was there. Now I'm going to go to work. No, the Bible is saying, take the name of Jesus to work with you. Take the name of Jesus into your workplace. Oh, it's so negative there. Everyone gossips. Well, come on, let's take the name of Jesus, have some faith in that name and set off a spiritual bomb before you even get into that place. All of a sudden you walk in, everyone's positive. Come on. Oh, I've got to be here today. No, you get to be there today. Come on, God's given you a job. And if you're in that environment, listen, I don't know your work colleagues, you do. And I can't reach them, only you can. And if we're just going to do what they do, that's not going into whatever in the name of Jesus. You know, Helen and I, we're going to do a lot of filming these days. It seems like we're just always in front of a camera filming for Poland, filming somewhere. And it's a huge honour, to be honest, because we're getting to speak to people. But if you actually know me, it's really difficult for me. Like, we take about 30 takes just to say hello. And you got to look right. If you know me, again, I'm a little bit conscious about, you know, do I look skinny? Can you put a filter on that thing to make me look a bit skinnier? And, you know, like, it's not something I love is what I'm saying. Here I am, we're doing it right now. But my point is this, it's not something I love doing. It stresses me out a little bit. So what do I have to do? I have to, and this is what I do. I bring the name of Jesus into it. What am I saying? Before we start filming, Jesus, in your name, I pray that what I say will be meaningful, that it will be powerful, that it will be not showy, but it will actually help people. What am I doing? I'm just filming. No, I'm not. I'm doing the whatever in the name of Jesus. Are you building a business? Build it in the name of Jesus. Are you raising kids? Raise kids in the name of Jesus. Are you going for your license? Please do it in the name of Jesus. Do it all in the name of... Are you trying to get pregnant? Do it all in the name of Jesus. Do it all. There's a young lady in our church and she's trying to fall pregnant. God bless her. And she suffered, you know, one miscarriage. But we didn't even know she was pregnant, to be honest, at the time. Didn't even know she was pregnant. And then she told us, and then she lost the child very quickly. And then she fell pregnant again. And I said, listen, I know, ladies, I know you love doing the whole secret thing and the 12 weeks. I get it. But tell someone who can pray with you, because the enemy doesn't want to bring that child into this world. So come on. So I said to her, next time you slightly think you're pregnant, actually tell me even beforehand, not too much, but you know, just tell me enough. Because you know what? We need to bring the name of Jesus into that situation. Well, lo and behold, she falls pregnant again and things are going well in Jesus' name. And we've been praying in Jesus' name the whole time. Come on, whatever we do it all in the name of Jesus. It's an atomic weapon. Why are we doing life alone? Why are we in the jungle? When we can step back and say, just send the bomb. I'm sorry if that sort of offends you, the whole war thing going on. But are you hearing what I'm saying, right? I'm not talking about physical war here. I hate physical war. But we are in a spiritual war. Amen. You know, in Poland, we were just there and I heard an incredible testimony about this young lady. And she, for 15 years, this woman had bulimia. Most of us know what bulimia is. It's a disorder where people eat food and then they feel like they have to continually bring it back up again. And it's not just to look good, apparently. It's got a whole lot of who knows what, to be honest. I'm no psychologist, but she had bulimia for 15 years. Now, wait for it. She's been married for 12 and her husband didn't even know she had it. And so she would send him out to go shopping and send him into different places so she could do her thing. Can you imagine how much of a bondage that was for this poor lady? She was so ashamed of what she was doing, and her husband didn't even know, the closest person to her. So one of the pastors of the church, she invites this girl to church, and she comes to a worship service, of all things, to a worship service. And they come in, there's no preaching, it's just worshiping. But they were worshiping Jesus. And so this woman comes, and she starts to worship the name of Jesus. She just looks around her and she thinks, I don't know what I'm doing, but this feels right. So she starts worshiping and worshiping. All of a sudden, this pastor walks over and she lays her hand on her, woman to woman, lays her hand on her and just says, in the name of Jesus, whatever is not of God has got to go. Well, she doesn't know what's going on. She goes back to her seat. This woman stands there. She feels something warm go through her body. She comes back 6 months later and she testifies and she says, pastors, I've got to tell you, that day, God broke the spirit of bulimia on my life. She has not done it once in 6 months. Not once in 6 months. But listen, the first time she shares about it, her husband's in the room. He didn't even know. And he's like, are you kidding me? And she's like, that's what was going on in my life. Listen, don't be shocked that the person you're even married to is going through some things that we don't even know about sometimes. And listen, what I'm trying to say to you is sometimes, you know what? People don't know things, but God does. And God knew the whole time. And God touched that woman and he changed her life forever. And what she thought was going to be in her life forever, God changed it in a moment and broke it by the power of Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Come on, East Campus. Let's praise him. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I believe the same Jesus that healed that woman can heal you. He can bring that same miraculous, spiritually atomic power into your world, into your relationships, into your business life, into your staffing matters, whatever it is, your raising of children. I don't know what you're going through, but we know that there is a God who can help us. But listen, we've got to come back to this. It's faith in the name. It's faith in the name. Do you know that there was a huge plane, I don't know, B-29 or something, flying over North Carolina. This is many, many years later, flying over North Carolina with two nuclear bombs, two atom bombs in the cargo and the plane starts falling apart and crashes. Before the plane crashes, they have to deploy the nuclear weapons. They have to let them go over their own country. These atom bombs were 260 times more powerful than Hiroshima. And they're in an aeroplane and their aeroplane's crashing over their own country. But they've got to deploy the weapons. So if you have a look here, you'll see a picture that there it is. But what they did is they released it with a parachute, but the parachute doesn't stop it from actually igniting. What stops it is that there's actually a safety system. You've got to push four buttons to set it off. So a nuclear weapon is very, very dangerous, but if you don't push the four buttons, it just crashes into a field. You know, the name of Jesus is very, very powerful, but if you don't push the four buttons of faith, you know what? It's not going to go off anyway. And we can be talking about the name of Jesus all day and talking about how powerful it is, but if you don't ignite it, if you don't push the button of faith, then it will just land in a field somewhere and you will watch people all around you get miracles, signs and wonders, and you will still find yourself and say, Lord, why isn't that working for me? And he will say, come on, come back to this. And I know that for some of us, we've already read it. The reason why we don't have faith is because you think you're not godly enough for the name. Some of us don't use the name because your life's not perfect. Thank God for Peter's words. Don't think, he says, don't think it's by our power or our godliness. Stop looking to yourself. Look to the godliness of Jesus. Why is God going to do this miracle? Yes, he loves you, but God actually does it for Jesus. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. When God loves his son, and when we pray in that name, listen to what we're saying. God, please heal my marriage in Jesus' name. God, you know that son of yours who was perfect, did nothing wrong, helped people, loved people, was crucified, died, rose again, is now seated in heaven? Yeah, him. God, can you please do it for his sake, for me? And God says, yeah, no problem, because he is godly enough. And God's gonna bring the miracles into your world, not because you're perfect, not because you're all that you think you should be, but because Jesus is all that he should be. And he will bring that miracle into your world because of who he is. It's not about your godliness. Thank God for that. But I love what it says. It says that Peter grabbed this man. He grabbed him. And the Bible says that his feet and his ankles, not just his feet, and his ankles were healed. And then the Bible breaks it up. It says he was healed and strengthened. Why are these words in that little story there? It's not a parable, it's a story. It actually happened. It's an account. Because sometimes you can be healed but not strengthened. And there's a lot of people in this place where, you know what, God has done the miracle of saving your marriage, but now it needs to be strengthened. And God stopped your kids from getting on drugs, but now you've got to strengthen that relationship that God allowed to be there. And we've got to strengthen. I would say for most of us, the healing part has already taken place. Now it's time for the healing part. We need some healing in the name of Jesus. This man didn't just receive healing, he received the strength that he needed. And for a lot of us in this place, you know, I have personal relationships with so many people. And I would say, you know what, there's no doubt about it that you're saved. Like when I talk to you, you're saved, you love Jesus. But are you strengthened? I would say probably not. And some people are wavering in their faith. You're still saved, but you're wavering. Come on, we need some strengthening. Strengthening also comes in the name of Jesus. It's not always because things are completely falling apart. Sometimes we just need some strengthening. Why is there so much power in Jesus' name? Do you know what it means? It means Jehovah is my salvation. So every time we pray in Jesus' name, what you're saying is, Jesus, you're my salvation. Jesus, you're my salvation for sin, like, please forgive me. But now he's salvation for anything else that you pray in his name. Whatever it is you're praying, if you're about to lose your job, Jesus is your salvation. You got some sickness going on, Jesus is your salvation, God is your salvation. And so when we pray in that name, it's very powerful. So here's the question, what do you need to bring under that name today? Is there anything that you're just sick and tired of being in hand-to-hand jungle warfare, and this battle has been bloody and it's been going on for a long time? At what point are we going to let this happen? Do you know that story starts with one afternoon? It doesn't say one special afternoon. It just says one afternoon. Do you know today is just another day? But why can't today be that day? Do you know that guy woke up and it was just another day. The skies were not bluer. The birds were not chirping louder. It was just another crippled day for him. But what he didn't realize was he was going to be walking home that day. And you know, today you may have come in a little bit crippled, but why can't you walk out today walking and leaping and praising God? Why can't today be the day that God breaks the doubt over your life? Why can't today be the day that God breaks the addiction over our lives? Why can't today be the day that confidence comes flooding in? Why can't today be that day? You know, I'm shocked. I was talking to pastors in Israel. These are pastors of churches. And yet a lack of confidence was still living inside of so many of them. And does that shock me? No, because it lives in me sometimes. And you know what a lack of confidence does? It stops you from stepping into everything God's called you to do. Come on, for some of us, it's not really that dark. It's not that bad, but it's bad enough that it's holding you back. Come on, today's the day. Why not today that we can go walking? Actually, let's go. Forget the walking part. We're all walking. Let's just go to the leaping. Let's go to the leaping. Anybody want to do some leaping? Hey, come on, get on your feet. Get onto your feet. I'm going to hand back over to the East Campus right now. East Campus, we're about to go into a time where we are going to bring everything, the whatever, under the name of Jesus. And I'm encouraging you to do the same thing as well. Come on, Lifehouse, let's give them another round of applause. We love you guys. I'm so glad I've got the name of Jesus. You know, before we start each church service, I've got an office over here somewhere and I watch you guys coming in. Do you know that? I can watch you guys. I see you looking in the windows and you're all... Ladies, you're spending a little bit too much time in front of that. And it's a bit awkward for me because I'm trying to have a coffee and you're staring straight at me, but you can't see me. And it's a bit weird, right? But you know what I'm doing? Is I'm praying the name of Jesus over your life. As I'm seeing you come in, and there are people that I don't even know, I'm just going, Lord, look at that family. Please, please bring the name of Jesus into their life. God, I don't know what they're going through, but you do. And then I pray for all of us together. I say, God, I take authority over this meeting. Demons cannot be in this room. The demonic must submit to the atomic. Hey, come on, somebody. Hey, listen, Dad, don't let the enemy mess up your household. Don't, if it's demonic, bring the atomic. Stand back and say, I bring my whole family under the name of Jesus. You know, kids growing up and then becoming rebellious, ending up on drugs and then finding Jesus again. And you know, that doesn't have to be the process. You know what it can be? They just love Jesus. Then they love Jesus more. Then they love him a whole lot. And then they go on and serve God. And then they become amazing people. Yeah, yeah, you know, that can be the case as well. And so if things are going a little bit left for you and you don't like it, well, come, bring it under the name of Jesus. Come on, bring it under the name. Come on, we've already prayed today. His name is higher. His name is greater.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.